Pete.
All right, well, welcome everybody to our November 16th, 2022 meeting. I want to thank everybody for being here. I also want to thank everybody up front for taking a look at kind of proposed schedule for 2023 and see if we can't work out all those dates as well. This meeting is open to the public and we are recording. The meeting is being conducted virtually. Members of the public can watch the meeting via listen-only video feed. And also some people, I think, may not be able to see us, which means that budget committee members and others who may be presenting or answering questions, please try to remember to unmute yourself before you begin speaking and also identify yourself before you speak so the people that can't see you will know who's speaking. And then remember when you're done speaking to unmute yourself so that we can minimize background noise. So with that, Ms. Cowan, do you think you could take a roll?
Sorry, I was muted. Yes, thank you, Judge Rubin.
Well, you're modeling the behavior we should all be doing. So thank you. I am here.
Thank you. Judge Mormon, hopefully will join us later. Justice Fujisaki.
Here.
Justice Hill.
Here.
Judge Armendariz.
Here. Hello.
Thank you. Judge Botke?
Here.
Judge Hopp?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Yamasaki?
Yes, I'm here.
And Ms. Hill?
I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you. So we have 8 of 9 members, so we have a quorum, just Judge Rubin.
Thank you so much. All right. And then what we should do now is for our business piece. One of our first business pieces. Can everybody look at page 4 of your materials? That's where our minutes from our September 21 meeting are. And if they are acceptable, could somebody make a motion?
Yamasaki would move approval of the minutes.
All right. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Fujisaki seconds.
All right. Yamasaki moves. We have Fujisaki seconding. Is there a discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain. Motion passes. Outstanding. Thank you, everybody. I understand, Ms. Cowan, we did not receive public comment for this meeting. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right, that does conclude the public comment portion of our meeting. We're now going to go on to our 5 discussion items in the open meeting, and they have a theme that Judge John Conklin will be presenting them. So Judge Conklin is here. He'll be assisted by staff from various parts of our Judicial Council staff departments. And let us start with Judge Conklin being assisted by Mr. Will and Ms. Hadrias to present an overview of the TICPAC recommendation for the CARE Act allocation methodology for the Cohort 1 trial courts in the current year. Judge Conklin.
Judge Rubin, thanks so much, and I appreciate your comments that I am merely facilitating the present presenters that are going to be here from staff. They're the ones that really are the brains and the success behind each of these motions. I will let you know that each of these items were considered by TICPAC last week after many of them being filtered through the funding methodology subcommittee. We had a nice discussion at TICPAC last week on all these items. There was some brief modifications, but each of them passed unanimously. The first being the CARE Act, as you've described. This is essentially, and I'll let Dawn take over in just a moment, this is seed money for the CARE Act program that is beginning to roll out just now. And you will hear much more about this in years to come, and hopefully much more funding to back it up. And with that, Dawn, I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks, Judge. My name is Dawn Will from Judicial Council Center for Families, Children, and the Courts, and I'm here with Ann Hadrias. this item did come through the funding methodology subcommittee of TCPAC and then TCPAC itself. The just to recap, the CARE Act is establishing a new program of court-based mental health services engagement and oversight for individuals with schizophrenia spectrum and other psychotic disorders. It's a large and complex program, as I think everyone knows. It in the Act, seven courts and counties were charged with initial implementation, that is to begin hearing these cases in October of next year, October of 2023. And those courts are Glen Orange, Riverside, San Diego, San Francisco, Stanislaus, and Tuolumne. The CARE Act budget includes two streams of funding to the courts, one for operations, one for administration. And so in this current year, fiscal year 22-23, an allocation for administration was made available to these cohort one courts as for planning and startup costs, and that is $2.8 million. So the funding methodology subcommittee considered a number of ways, which are recapped in the chart and the report, to allocate this money across the seven courts, who of course vary greatly in size, and settled on recommending that it be allocated by a base, so that the small courts would have enough money to operate with and to do their planning, and then the remainder of the funds be allocated based on the court's workload formula. So in the recommendations, recommendation number one is to approve for the cohort one courts the scenario which is displayed in attachment one, giving the courts what we calculated as a half FTE base, or $98,000, and then the remainder allocated by the workload formula. Also recommended that TCPAC perform a reconciliation during the year, looking at the CARE Act spending reports and court projections for spending. And finally, since more courts will be coming online for planning next year, for implementation the following year, and the funding streams will grow larger to support those courts, the committee recommended that the funding methodology subcommittee take that up in this year to develop an ongoing allocation for CARE Act funding. So this initial recommendation really is initial. It's for the first seven courts, the first year, this year, and the $2.8 million that we have right now from the Budget Act. So I am happy to answer any questions on the item.
Mr. Will, this is Judge Rubin. Just a real quick question. I know in our recommendation on page seven of the materials talks about a 0.50 FTE. Mm-hmm. And I understand that each of the four color-coded charts is kind of one of the one of the things that was studied. And then the recommendation is one in the far right, which is columns K, L, and M. My yes. Column K says 0.25 FTE.
That's just a mistake. So that just, I'm sorry to interrupt, but yeah, that just didn't roll over. That was the column that came from FMS to TCPAC, and TCPAC, after discussion, decided to bump that up to 0.5. So it just didn't catch up. That's all it is. So, I'm glad you caught that. So it's a 0.50 FTE.
So what we'll do is, whatever the motion is, once we get all the discussion going, if the budget committee decides to go along with this, then this display will be adjusted before it goes to the council. Is that right?
But the numbers are correct. The numbers are correct. It's just a typo of the point. So the 98,000 for the base is correct. That's 0.5. It's just literally that 1.5 up above at the top of the column. And I'll just, for a little bit of background, the discussion at TICBAC was that, especially from those two floor courts, that 0.25 was just simply not sufficient to allow them to begin their work. The way it was spread out among the seven courts was a very minimal impact. So it was decided to bump it from 0.25 to 0.50.
All right. Are there any questions for Mr. Will or Judge Conklin? I'm not seeing any hands. Let me scroll over. I'm not seeing anyone or hearing anyone. All right. Is there a motion?
Yamasaki would move approval of the recommendations as stated.
All right. Yamasaki is moving the recommendations at page 7 of the materials. Is there a second?
Hill second.
I got Hill and who else? I'll take Justice Hill.
I think that was me,
Hop. Oh, all right. I'll take Justice Hill and Hop. We'll both second. And then this is there further discussion?
Judge Rubin, if I may add just a point of, I guess, consideration. Is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay. So one of the challenges that we may encounter with this is the money that the courts are going to be receiving here will start, presuming that the Judicial Council itself approves the recommendation in January, the monies need to be encumbered by the end of June of 2023, which is 6 months later. And unfortunately, because of the late start in the whole process, and of course, there's been a lot of work that needs to be done here, it gives a short period of time to spend the money. And I'm hoping that going forward, there could be perhaps some dialogue to perhaps earmark the funds that are received by the different courts, that money is something that is restricted, if you will. And the reason why that might be of benefit is any monies that are left over, unless it's encumbered, counts against the local court's fund balance. And the monies have to be spent very specifically towards this program, I presume. I think that's what one of the reporting requirements will be. But hopefully that can be something that can be considered going forward. Some of the expenses that are going to be incurred are one-time expenses. And in that scenario, there may be an option for courts to encumber the monies. But also some of the monies relate to personnel as well. So that is more difficult to carry over from year to year when it relates to personnel. So I know that there's more dialogue that will take place going forward, and it is what it is because it's part of the Budget Act, perhaps. But going forward, it might be helpful for additional conversations and perhaps guidance to be given to us about expanding the duration of time that the money can be spent for the program. So that doesn't change the recommendation, only just a point of consideration going forward.
And Don, I don't know if you wanted to add anything to that. We did discuss that at TICBAC, the timing of the allocation, given the fact there's only 6 months left of the fiscal year. Some courts are already well underway and are going to welcome this money very quickly and have essentially spent it. But David makes a good point, as always, that the timing of the allocation is always going to be important. Don, I don't know if you wanted to supplement that with any.
No, other than the I assume when the recommendation is passed, the funding methodology subcommittee can begin working on the next allocation, including this issue that Mr. Yamasaki raises.
Judge Rubin, this is John Wardlaw. Just quickly, there are a lot of conversations going on right now with the administration about CARE Court and the costs and needs of the courts. And so I would expect that in the year that begins July 1st, you know, as the governor's developing his spending plan for next fiscal year, those conversations will inform the next round of funding.
Thank you. I was about to say if you wanted to jump in or
And one more thing, Judge, is that there would be new money coming in. So this isn't one-time money. So to the extent it's unspent, there'd be a replenishment and a new set of monies coming in for allocation for the courts to continue that if they weren't able to fully ramp up. That's an important part is to understand is this is ongoing money, not one-time money for the courts.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or observations? All right, we have a motion. We had 2 seconds for the discussion. All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, abstain. All right, the motion passes. Outstanding. Thank you, Mr. Will and Judge Conklin for that. We are now moving on to our second item. And this is the Model Self-Help Pilot Program update. And we have Judge Conklin and Ms. Snyder, I think, to present on this. And this would be the overview of the TICFAC approved allocation methodology for the one-time 2022-23 Model Self-Help Funding Program. So Judge Conklin.
Judge Rubin, thanks so much. I'll turn it over to Ms. Snyder immediately, but this is basically just an update. This is going to allow for funding to go to some additional courts that are coming into the Model Self-Help Program. And rather than make it confusing, Melanie, I'm turning it over to you.
Thank you so much. So in 2021, the Judicial Council approved a recommendation to allow all the trial courts to apply for money to expand the use of technology for self-help assistance. Currently, there exists $191,400 to distribute. 13 courts submitted 15 applications requesting $699,635. To ensure the most effective use of funding, CFC staff coordinated with Court Technology Modernization Fund staff and Language Access Signage Technology staff to review, and we were able to identify $306,783 in self-help applications that could be funded through those other grant programs. And so one of the applications was not recommended for funding because the council's working on a separate statewide solution, and that involved document assembly, creating document assembly programs. So the current recommendation is to fund the 8 remaining courts that are included in Attachment A, Table 2 of the memo, and that is our staff recommendation.
All right, outstanding. Any questions for Judge Conklin or Ms. Snyder about this? I thought it was very clever finding alternative sources so that you could fund everybody. I thought that was really good work. All right, so, well, I should say everybody but one. But even they're going to get something because there's another program that help them out. All right, so any questions or comments? Okay, so this, I'm getting this whole after lunch meeting thing may not be
I thought it was just me.
Oh my goodness, you folks. Okay. Is there a motion then?
So moved.
Thank you, Justice Hill. I'm like, I know you're there. I can see your pictures. Is there a second?
I'll second. Rachel. Oh.
Nope. Sorry. Right. Sorry. I'll defer to Ms. Hill.
All right. Ms. Hill seconds. All right. So the motion is by Justice Hill. The second is by Ms. Hill. Is there any further discussion? All right, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, all those abstain. This is actually a good experience for me. I now know what it must be like for a Broadway performer to come out and see a whole audience covered in masks. There's just like no feedback. Although I will say, when I was there last week, nobody had a mask on but me. All right, glad we had that chat. All right, moving on now to item three.
I could dance or something, David, if you want, just to liven him up, but I don't think you want to see that.
Oh, no, yeah, yeah. It's like,
yeah.
It's like when my husband sings, it's like when my husband sings in the car. I'm like, no, 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 just the words, not the notes. Yeah. Anyway, because I'm supportive. All right, anyway, on item three, the base funding for inflationary increases. Again, this is Mr. Conklin. I think Ms. Tuck was not joining us today. Is that right? Or she is?
No, she's here.
All right, great. And you're going to give us an overview of the recommendation for updating the annual base funding floor process.
Right.
So automatic increases for two funding.
In quick summary, that's what we're doing is for those of you that are familiar with this item from discussions past, the automatic inflationary adjustment is very beneficial to all the courts. And we're now just applying this to those two smallest courts for their benefit as well, Alpine and Sierra, to make sure in those years that there's an automatic inflationary adjustment, they benefit from it as well. Oksana will drill down a little bit on this for us. Oksana.
Yes, thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Oksana Tuck, Senior Analyst with Budget Services. This report is to assist the committee in considering a recommendation to update the annual base funding floor process to include automatic increases for two base funding floor courts, Alpine and Sierra. When the workload formula was first approved, a funding floor was established to reflect the cost of the minimal level of court operations, as there were operational funding needs above of what the workload formula provided. Based on the staffing needs and operational costs at that time, a base funding floor amount of $750,000 was approved by the Judicial Council effective 2014-15. There has been two subsequent council-approved increases to the funding floor, a $50,000 inflationary adjustment effective in 2019-20, and most recently, the $150,000 inflationary adjustment approved by the Council this past March, increasing the base funding floor amount to $950,000 effective in 2022-23. The base funding floor is an ongoing set funding amount and is currently allocated outside of the workload formula. As a result, it does not always recognize changes that courts within the workload formula are eligible to receive, including inflationary cost increase funding. During the November 2021 FMS and TIGBEC meetings, members recognized that the process currently established for those two courts to request a funding floor augmentation is onerous and time-consuming, especially when considering that there are automatic funding adjustments included in the workload formula for the other 56 trial courts. During last week's meeting, TIGBEC considered options that are presented on page 13 of the materials and is recommending option 1, for an annual adjustment to the base funding floor amount in years when CPI, the Consumer Price Index, is provided in the budget. And it would be equal to the same CPI percentage that is provided to the other 56 trial courts. That concludes our presentation, and we're happy to take any questions.
All right, thank you very much, Ms. Tuck. Are there questions for Judge Conklin or Ms. Tuck about this item? It seems fairly straightforward. Anybody?
No questions, Judge Rubin, I just want to provide a little context. Having been part of the group that assembled the base funding formula back in 14, I think it was important for courts to recognize that even the smallest courts in the branch have growing increases and need resources to sustain the responsibilities that they have. You know, incrementally, there's been growth. But I'll provide one example. Back in 2008, in Orange County, there were 2,000 employees at the court. The costs today for Orange, with 500 fewer employees, exceeds what it was back in 2008. So costs have unfortunately gone up at a very, very rapid pace. And I think recognizing the benefits of the CPI adjustment that the entire branch has received, I think it's very appropriate, in my view, to incorporate a similar increase to the branch, including the base funding amounts that we've previously operated under. And for that reason, or those reasons, I think it's appropriate. And if you would allow me, I'd be happy to make a motion to approve this particular item and the recommendations contained therein.
I'm going to take that as a motion. Is there a second? And thank you, David, or Mr. Yamasaki, for your comments. Is there a second?
I second the motion. And if I could just add, clearly doing it on an ad hoc basis has complicated planning for courts that have, you know, a pretty limited budget. And so for them to be able to know that if the branch gets a, you know, percentage increase, they're going to get it too, seems like it would encourage sensible budget planning. That's the reason I support this.
Outstanding. All right, we have a motion by Yamasaki, second by Hop. Is there further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? All right, the item passes. All right, which takes us to item four. And item four is, again, Judge Conklin and Ms. Tuck. And this is the 21-22 final adjustments for year-end trial court fund balances, and they're going. And so, Judge Conklin and Ms. Tuck are going to talk to us about the final one-time adjustments for the year-end fund balances for 21-22. Go ahead,
Judge Rubin. Thanks, and again, I'll turn this over to Oksana momentarily just to give us the details, but. For those of you that have seen this in years past, this is an annual step that we take and we're required to take. It's for the 3% fund balance cap reduction. I'll just sort of give away the tagline before we get started here. But at the end of the day, and John can give us these final numbers or Oksana, but on a multi-billion dollar budget, we're ending up only having to reconcile or give back slightly less than $2 million. So it's very impressive. Sign of how staff and the courts manage their money, but it's also a necessary step we take every year to make sure that we're complying with the requirements of those remaining funds. And Oksana, if you want to give us some detail on that, thank you.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon again. Government Code Section 77203, Subdivision B, allows trial courts to carry over unexpended funds in the amount not to exceed 3% of the court's operating budget from the prior fiscal year. Statute requires that in January of each fiscal year, after review of available trial court reserves as of June 30th of the prior fiscal year, the Judicial Council shall finalize allocations to the trial courts, and each court's finalized allocation shall be offset by the amount of reserves in excess of the amount authorized to be carried over. Trial courts submitted their final 3% computations with final year-end information, and the figures in Attachment A on page 18 of the materials reflect the trial court's finalized and closed accounting records for 21-22. Column L displays court's final total reduction computations of $13.9 million. On the following page, Attachment B provides details on the final allocation adjustments for the 21-22 fund balance 3% cap adjustment, and TCTL funds help on behalf request amounts that will be allocated for the current year expenditures. And those will be distributed in February 2023 distribution to the trial courts, as well as amounts that will be retained in TCTF for the future year's expenditure. The committee is asked to approve the 3% fund balance cap reduction allocation of $13.9 million to match the trial court's final calculations of the amount above the 3% funding balance cap, which nets to $1.8 million after the total funds held on behalf reduction, for consideration by the Council at its business meeting on January 20th, 2023. That concludes our presentation. We will be happy to answer any questions.
All right, thank you very much, Ms. Tuck. Any questions for Ms. Tuck or Judge Conklin on this item?
And Brandy Oliver is also with us if she wants to add anything. I just, Oksana or Brandy, I'm the billion dollar versus the 1.8 million. Was that a correct? I want to make sure those figures are correct.
Yes.
Great. Impressive. Anyways, sorry to interrupt.
That's all right. All right. So questions for Ms. Oliveira, Ms. Tuck, or Judge Conklin? All right. I'm not seeing anything. Would somebody want to make a motion?
I'll move Rachel Hill.
I'll second Hill.
Thank you. All right, motion by Ms. Hill, seconded by Justice Hill. Further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstaining? All right, the motion passes. Thank you very much. That was great. Finally, on our open meeting agenda, we have the Court Interpreters Program Allocation Methodology. This is going to be presented by Judge Conklin and Mr. Denton, and they're going to present the recommendation for the CIP Allocation Methodology to start next year, July 1. But I did want to say one thing, and I meant to correct this. I don't think I'm talking out of school. I'm on ENP, and we looked at the reports. We set the agenda for the meeting for December, and I recall seeing the reports for this item. So, Mr. Yamasaki, I think we're going to be on the December agenda with these items. It doesn't really address your concern that you made on item one particularly dramatically, because you're only talking about 30 days, and those 30 days are a lot of holidays. And so this, your point is well taken, which is expending the funds for the CARE program, even though if the decision is made in December, it's only adding 30 days to the situation.
Agreed.
All right. And that's, if I could comment briefly, that's thanks to staff. So Brandy and others really cranked this out between FMS kickback last week and this meeting this week. And then to get ready for the council meeting in 2 weeks, they'll be burning on both ends of the candle, but it's impressive work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we should, Judge Rubin, I want to make sure that we need to review. I thought that this was going to January.
Was it January? I might have still looked at something else.
Yeah, so we'll confirm that, but we were planning for this to be, these issues to be January, given that the council meeting is only a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't think deadlines would permit it for December, right?
Yeah, Brandy's appeared and she can confirm that.
Yes.
All right. January. Then I have ESP. That's the key. All right. Perfect. I'm glad we had that conversation. All right. All right, then, our last item, interpreter program.
Thank you. And this is presented to you at page 21 of your materials. The final recommendation is at page 23 of 24. Doug Denton is here to present on this, but this is the wrap-up of the Court Interpreters Program funding methodology after a lot of hard work. I'll turn it over to Douglas.
Thank you, Judge Conklin and Judge Rubin, and good afternoon, committee members.
I'm Douglas Denton from the Judicial Council's Language Access Services Program. The report on this item, I believe, begins at page 20 of your materials. For today's Court Interpreters Program Allocation Methodology Recommendation from the Funding Methodology Subcommittee, or FMS, I'll begin with a brief background. In January 22, the Judicial Council approved recommendations from the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, or TCBAC, for an ongoing workload-based allocation methodology for interpreter funding, including cross-assignments, benefit cost changes, and unspent funds effective July 1, 2022. The methodology outlines the years in which expenditure data will be used for allocating funds to trial courts up to the appropriation amount, requires courts to return unspent funds for allocating to courts with a shortfall while operating within the appropriation amount, allocate staff interpreter benefit costs back to the courts dollar for dollar, and requires courts to offset interpreter expenses to courts providing cross assignments. And finally, the Ad Hoc Interpreter Subcommittee would continue its work to review pandemic impact and data considerations for the 2023-2024 allocation methodology. The FMS has an annual work plan that is updated annually and approved by TCBAC. This past summer, the item to develop an ongoing workload-based methodology for allocating interpreter funding for 23-24 was approved for working on this fiscal year. As a result, 5 recommendations were developed for the Budget Committee to consider today, which were approved by TCBAC, and they're in the report at pages 23 and 24 of your materials, and I'll just go through them quickly. The first is to exclude the 2020-21 pandemic year from the 3-year average expenditure data used in the model indefinitely. The second is to continue using historical expenditure data in the model while the Ad Hoc Subcommittee continues collaborating with the Language Access Services Program on possible data enhancements and usage in the allocation methodology to improve upon current interpreter needs. Number 3 is that in the event courts experience a shortfall, first utilize other courts' interpreter allocation savings to make up the difference up to the appropriation amount. If funding from savings is not enough to cover the shortfall, the interpreter fund balance would be utilized via a proportional allocation methodology. And should there still not be enough interpreter funding in the fund balance to cover any shortfall, the court with the shortfall would be covered by its own operating budget. Should the fund balance be reduced significantly over time to support interpreter program operations, a future budget change proposal may be required to keep pace with increasing costs. Number 4 is that for cross assignments, home courts are to submit reimbursement requests directly to receiving courts for the receiving court to cover the cost of the interpretation. And number 5 is to approve video remote interpreting, or VRI, data as a future consideration in the allocation methodology as more information on VRI definitions are developed and utilization is reviewed. That concludes my presentation. I would invite any of the FMS members to comment further, and we're also happy to answer any questions.
All right, any FMS members wish to comment?
Judge Rubin, I am an FMS member, and I would be happy to comment on a couple of the items just to provide a little bit of context, if I may. So there are a couple components with respect to how monies are spent from this area, and of course it serves a large segment of the community who need obviously interpreter services so they can understand the proceedings. One of the problems that we've faced over a long period of time is really recognizing what the financial need is to support this particular program. And we relied heavily on how much money courts have spent in the past as the driver for how much they should receive in the future. The challenge, unfortunately, is that there has to be some flexibility in how much interpreters are compensated, especially the contract interpreters, because some of them have to travel great distances and are looking for an offset for their travel costs to take a particular assignment. Is that a reflection of need? I think somebody can question that as the basis for determining need, but it is a reflection of costs. And so this leads to my second point, and that is, as we start to address what our interpreter needs are, and if we're faced with the need to ask for more funds, I think it's important for us to provide in greater detail on what interpreters have been assigned to do and the volume, so that we can use that as a basis to support any requests that come in. I think right now, our ability to capture data has expanded pretty significantly. And I think that related to, I think the second point of expanding the data collection efforts has to be part of what we do going forward. So I think that those are two of the areas that have been identified in the proposal. The other item that I would speak to is just item four. The way it's phrased, it allows a home court to submit to seek reimbursement to cover the costs of interpretation. Is that, I just want to ask, is that inclusive of travel costs, or is it specifically for the interpretation, which are two different things? So I just a point of clarification, if somebody can provide some detail on that.
Hi, David, it's Douglas. I think Brandy can confirm, but I think where it left off is that it would cover all costs. So,
Okay. The
staff costs, any travel, any, lodging, it basically would be a reimbursement for the full cost of the cross assignment.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Are there any questions then for Mr. Yamasaki, Mr. Denton, or Judge Conklin regarding the interpreter allocation? All right, seeing none, does anybody want to make a motion?
Yamasaki would enthusiastically move approval of the recommendations as provided.
All right, is there a second?
Just as enthusiastically, I would second it.
Thank you, Justice Hill. So Yamasaki moves, Justice Hill seconds. Is there further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Oppose? Judge Hopp, are you opposing?
I was trying to vote, but I hadn't unmuted myself, so this was an aye.
There you go. All right, oppose? Abstain. All right, it passes unanimously. All right. So that concludes our open meeting. Our next regularly scheduled meeting is for January 18th of next year. But the way things are going, and certainly the commitments I've made offline about our committee, is that if something comes up, we could be reconvened for some other reason that I don't yet know. Not saying it will happen, but just in general, just because we know what our next meeting is, we shouldn't expect not to have something come in the interim. But with that, for the members I don't see until January 18th, or hear from, a wonderful, safe holiday season. And we'll see you back in the next year. And but I guess I'm gonna see you all in about 30 seconds. We're going into closed session. Okay.
Not all of us. Thank you all very much for your attention to these matters. We really appreciate it. And for the hard work of staff. Yep.
Right. Thank you. But I'll talk to you in a minute, Judge Conklin. So.